I want to share with you, though, same way I just got done talking with the children. Does everybody know what today is? What's going on this evening? Can anybody name what's going on this evening? The Super Bowl. That's right. I'm excited because I watch the Super Bowl every year, and I have since I was... I promise you, this just dawned on me now. I promise you, I didn't even have this planned. Like, it just hit me, and I'm thinking about just sitting down. I have watched the Super Bowl every year since the Bears beat the Patriots in 1985. I was like, that's the first big Super Bowl I can remember sitting down and watching with my dad, because my dad, who's a very great individual, save for the fact that he's a Bears fan. And every year since then, I've watched it. So tonight, I plan on watching the game, and to me, it doesn't matter so much who ends up playing each year. I love something about this is, well, it's always sad, the last game of the season. This is a matchup between the two best teams from the AFC, one from the NFC. This is a big spectacle. This is where they air the commercials, and they get the halftime, and, you know, it's just kind of exciting. For me, I tune in each year, and I'm looking forward to it. But I don't think I'm alone. Just to be curious, how many of you, by raising your hand, would say, I plan on watching the game too? I was afraid no hands were going to go up at first, yeah. And whether you tune in for the commercials, or you tune in because of the halftime show, or you tune in because you're like, they canceled all the good programming, so I'm going to watch this, or you tune in for the game, yeah, I'm not alone in watching it. You're not alone in watching it. Did you know, interesting bit of trivia, and you can use this over and over, did you know, on average, so it's been a little higher and it's been a little lower, but are you ready for this? On average, just across the board, here's an average number we've arrived at. On average, 100.4 million people in the United States will be watching the Super Bowl. Isn't that crazy? 100.4 million people on average, some years more, will be watching the Super Bowl. And again, whatever reason they're tuning in, maybe they like the halftime performances, maybe they like the commercials, maybe they actually like the game, 100.4 million people will be watching this game. That's pretty amazing. That's a huge number of people. So let me ask a question and get the gears turning. For one of the largest single events that captures that average 100.4 million people that happens annually, you can predict it's coming. In fact, they advertise that it's coming. You know it's coming each year. Why on earth wouldn't the church leverage that too? I say, probably too many times, it's important that we find ways to talk about our faith and share it with others. Why wouldn't we leverage the Super Bowl to do the same thing? The Apostle Paul at one point wrote, I have become all things to all people so that by all means some may be saved. In other words, take whatever avenue you have and leverage it to reach the most people possible. And if the Super Bowl has that big of an audience, odds are that could be a great conversation item for faith. So I encouraged you to bring along someone this week. I encouraged you to invite maybe someone that wouldn't normally want to come to church. I said, we're going to have NFL Sunday, Football Sunday. So here's just a sampling from the two teams that will be playing in today's game of some of the players. And I want you to hear what they have to say about God and faith in their city and in their lives.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Football Sunday 2019. I'm Benjamin Watson, and in a few hours, the largest single sporting event of the year will be played in Atlanta. But in the next few minutes I get to spend with you, you'll hear some amazing and inspirational stories from NFL players and their wives. You'll also hear from some of the men who are playing in today's game. And by the end of the day, one team will walk away with the Lombardi Trophy. That reward we worked towards since we were kids with big dreams playing at the local field. It's going to be a great day, and I'm so glad you've chosen to be here with us, right here, right now. Welcome to Football Sunday 2019.
There's a certain electricity, there's a certain energy about LA that I think is different than most parts in the world.
Just the atmosphere is amazing as well. I mean, you know what they say, it don't rain in Southern California.
The fans are absolutely amazing. They always come in full force and they're just screaming as loud as they possibly can.
City of just love, just people, family for me. Really just, this is home base. This is where I grew up.
LA is awesome. The weather's perfect. You know, the people here are very welcoming.
I mean, it's such a blessing to be in this position. You know, this is something I've dreamt of since I was a little boy. So to get the opportunity to go play in a Super Bowl, play for the Lombardi Trophy is incredible.
We've seen God do some tremendous work in the lives of our families, and they're loving their wives, they're loving their children, and they're being good men, both on and off the field.
I think God is just my everything. He's been my crutch to lean on so many times when things are going bad, but I think that constantly refocusing on Him is what's allowing me to continue to be on the straight and narrow and continue to be successful on this team.
I'm a sinner. But at the end of the day, His grace is so sufficient in my life, and has been, and not just in my life, but my family's life.
I think God in my season of life right now is, He's done some heavy work in my life the last couple of years and helped me kind of discover who I am on a deeper level and as a man of God and as a father, as a husband.
These days I'm discovering God to be really my provider, my protector, my healer. It's just amazing the work that he's doing in my life and my family's life.
This year I tore my ACL, and so that obviously put an end to the season, but being able to every day work towards finding that joy in life that only comes from the Spirit, there's growth happening.
Nothing in the NFL is promised. So waking up with the faith every day that God is in control, that He loves you, and that He's going to take care of you no matter what. It gives you a peace of mind to operate on a daily basis.
We try to do what we can by leading by example and hopefully building relationships. Therefore, we're able to feed into the guys' lives and do the best we can just for the kingdom of God.
We love it up here. It's just been an awesome community to be a part of, and yeah, the winters are a little tough, though.
The area as a whole, I mean, freezing. It's cold. I mean, you know, we have great fans, great place to play.
Not only are we teammates, but we're friends as well. And you see it by, you know, guys really digging into each other's lives.
When I first got here, I was super surprised at how many believers in Jesus we have on the team. And it's a blessing to be here.
And we're so excited and humbled and just thankful for having this experience. So we want to try to make the most of it.
What goes on here that's so special is the brotherhood in this locker room. You know, we've got a lot of men in this locker room that are truly invested in the relational side of things.
There's no better group of guys, I think, that I could, you know, be on a team with them right here.
Our culture here in New England is better because of the kind of men Bill and Robert have brought into our building and the way that they've impacted societies and churches, and they don't leave anyone the same way.
Everything that we do is for Jesus, and he's everything. Everything that we do on the field, everything that we do with our families, everything that we do out there in the practice field is, we try to do it for His glory.
You know, it's hard sometimes in this sport. You lean on your own understanding a little bit, and I think you've got it all figured out and all under control, and that's not really the case.
Before I came to Christ, I was living so much for myself, and that's something that I continue to work on every single day. I'm not perfect. None of us are. I've definitely seen, shifts work in my life, and that's all through knowing Him and having the Holy Spirit work through me.
God's my everything. I mean, I'm in this position because of Him. You thank Him daily, wake up every morning, and I mean, that's the first thing I do just because, I mean, none of this is possible without Him.
He's proven Himself to be so faithful this year. He's grown marriages, families, relationships, and that's so much more exciting than football going to the Super Bowl, even though we'll take that. But, man, He's been really faithful this year.
I just love hearing the testimony of, again, players that are playing in something that 100.4 million people on average will watch, something they talked about they've been dreaming of their whole life and working towards, and yet they're talking about God and talking about their faith. And Cooper Kupp, I don't know if you heard him, played for the Rams. He was an outstanding receiver this season. I wish they'd have zoomed in more on him. He tore his ACL. He was having an amazing season. He was having an all-pro season. He tore his ACL. He won't be playing football this season. He may have to delay his start next season. He won't be playing in the Super Bowl today. Do you know how tough that has to be, to have that kind of injury and to watch all of your teammates go and play in this game while you're on the sideline, like, I could have been there. Go. And yet, if you heard him in the video, he said, so I have to get up each morning and look for joy somewhere else. And I find that in the Spirit. Are you kidding me? Some of us stub our toe when we're going downstairs in the morning and we can't find joy all day. This guy is missing, who knows, maybe his only chance ever to play on this big of a stage. And he says, I find joy in the Spirit. So that's incredible to me. I love that they're willing to share that testimony. And I love hearing from those players that'll be in the game. And I want to know, maybe I was just naive, but how many of you would have guessed there were that many Christians in the NFL, let alone on the two teams that happen to be playing? How many of you were aware? I never thought about that, because what you hear about frequently are their off-the-field actions. What you hear about are the things that players should not be doing that they end up doing. And you get so little press coverage on those players that believe and that live it out in their lives. And so thinking about them living that out, living out their faith, going to face an incredible stage, an incredible opponent, and having faith, and what we just talked about in those big questions that we have, the how does that work situations with our faith, I just want to say we live not by what we know and see, but we live by faith. That sometimes there are questions, sometimes there are things that we want to understand how they work, and we won't have the answer on this side of eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Apostle Paul was talking about how some days we long for a heavenly home. We are here on this earth. We are dealing with the things that happen on this earth. But some days we just wish we could be with God. And he says, yet we live each day here by faith. Come good or come bad, he says, we live by faith and not by sight. Or in Hebrews chapter 11, the book of Hebrews at the beginning of chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith, what is faith? Well, it's the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance for what we do not see. And in Hebrews, the writer goes on to talk about all the people that have done great things that were noted, that were recorded in Scripture, and they did those things not because they could see the outcome, not because they were all just having an easy time, but because they chose to live by faith. And 1 Corinthians 2:5 reminds us, our faith does not rest on human wisdom. Aren't you glad for that? Our faith does not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. And Paul was talking about what he's had the opportunity to do in talking with churches, in reaching new people, in following Jesus Christ. And he says, all of this is not on my strength, it's on God's. We do not rest our faith on human wisdom, but on God's power. So I want to share with you just a bit this morning. Those players talked about their faith. I'm saying that we have to live day by day, sometimes without answers. Again, this side of eternity, there are things maybe in our religion, in the world, with God, that we just won't have the answer to, and we need to live by faith. So I want to talk to you about how we live by faith and what that looks like when we live by faith. But I'm not going to share at this point. I would like someone else to share. One of my personal favorite NFL players, he was at Purdue while I was at Purdue. I taught him everything he knows. Goes by the name of Drew Brees, has an incredible testimony about living by faith. If we can play that video.
You go to Sunday school, you enjoy hearing the Bible stories, and then you go to the big sermon, the big church, and you sit there and I'm just, you know, me and my brother just kind of hitting each other, just wondering when it's going to get over. The second to last game of the season, third round of the playoffs, I was the starting quarterback. I suffered a torn ACL in my knee. It was devastating for me. Junior high school too, this was when you're supposed to get recruited and just all of these things. I had to wait to have surgery for a month because they had to let the MCL heal before they repaired the ACL, and then I was still on crutches, and it was just, I'd hit that point. I had seen friends have that injury and never come back quite the same, so what I thought was just gonna be my life, sports, I felt like was being stripped away from me. And I remember sitting in church on my 17th birthday and sitting in that same pew where my brother and I used to just goof around and never pay attention. And for some reason that day it was different. And I was locked in on the pastor as he was sitting there talking about how the Lord was looking for a few good men to carry on his kingdom, to spread his word and to live the life that he had planned for them. And that spoke to me. And it was at that moment that I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart and knew that there was something that was bigger planned for me than just sports. My fifth season, going into an off season in which I did not have a contract, I was gonna be a free agent. I get hurt the very last game of the 2005 season with the San Diego Chargers. I've never dislocated anything in my life, but I knew exactly what happened. And I knew too that besides maybe like a broken neck or something, that is the absolute worst injury that I could ever have asked for a quarterback. As I'm walking off the field with my shoulder stuck like this because it was dislocated, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm probably never gonna put on a Charger uniform again. And then it hits me that, you know what, I might not ever play football again. A few short months later, my wife and I were taking a visit to New Orleans, who was 6 months post-Katrina, and we're just looking at the sheer devastation and just saying, I'm not gonna trust what I see with my eyes here because my eyes are telling me not to come here. And yet my heart, my soul, the Lord is telling me that this is our calling. It's not about just coming to play football and be a part of the resurgence of a football team or an organization, but it's about the resurrection and rebirth of a city, and we can be a part of that. We score, the Colts are driving, we get the interception, we go score, now we're up 14 with 3 minutes left, and yet you're still thinking, I know Peyton Manning, I know this team. In your mind, you're going through all these scenarios of what you're gonna have to do still, and then we get the ball back to basically take a knee to win the game, and it wasn't until that moment that, all right, we are world champions. I think we as people, do we want to see and touch and feel in order for it to be real for us? And yet, 2 Corinthians 5:7 will tell you, you'll be led by faith and not by sight. You know, so much of life is that. It's faith in God, knowing that He's got a plan, and at times you don't understand it, and you're not going to see it, and yet you just have to trust and you have to have faith.
But sometimes Drew Brees just got done telling us you have to live by faith and not by sight. And I mean, coming from the situation that he was in, where he wondered if he'd ever play football again, and the team that wanted him was just devastated by a hurricane, he said, I went there and I chose to go there in faith in spite of what I saw. So I wonder again, how many of you plan on watching the game tonight? I hope that many of you will, not because I'm saying that you have to like football. You don't have to like football. It's exciting. Watch it. Check it out. But here's the real deal. Drew Brees just taught us a great lesson on what it meant in his life to live by faith. I am willing to bet that some of you could talk about times where you have had to live by faith also. And I bet there are people out there in the world today that are saying, I don't know how I'm gonna get by, or I can't see where this road's leading, or I don't understand why this is happening right now. And they need someone to talk with them about what it means to have faith. And how are you gonna get there? How are you gonna get to a meaningful conversation with them? Wouldn't it be awesome if the Super Bowl wasn't just about football, but it was a bridge to connect with someone? Wouldn't it be fantastic if you could find something that, like, let's just pick a number, over 100 million people would watch so that, you know, there's likely to be a lot of people watching. And wouldn't it be awesome if there were an element of faith somewhere in it so that you could share with a lot of people about what you believe? Shazam! Football Sunday. It's not about the football. It's about people and their relationship with Jesus Christ. So here's what I want you to think about. Here's what I want you to put on your calendar. Here's what I want you to look forward to. Next year, I am fairly certain there will be a Super Bowl. Next year, I am fairly certain there will still be people that will be carrying on without a good relationship with God, but somewhere in their hearts longing for that. Next year, I am fairly certain we will still be meeting together as a church. I plan on having a football Sunday next year. In the meantime, use something you've learned today to connect with others. Use something that you've heard today to think about your own faith. And plan on a year from now making an invitation to someone that might not be interested in church to come hear about football Sunday and see what some NFL players have to say about it, so that that might be a handoff. I did that in my mind and I said it. For you to talk about your faith. Because it takes a lot of courage to talk with someone else. It takes just the right moment to have an impact on their life. And to live this life, it takes a lot of faith. But we don't live by what we can see.